Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamma. Today is Thursday, June 7th, 2018, and we're at Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference. And with me today, Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I am unmuted.
Aha. I'm glad
you're very muted.
Very
exciting.
There was that brief moment where I thought, did I really just get kicked off the hotel Wi-Fi again?
Yeah, that's a fair point. And it's been, I think it's been like a good 2 weeks since I've been on the show. So happy to be here. It's been a pretty good week, and giddy up.
Yeah, and it's great to have you back on the show. I have missed having you here.
Aw, thanks.
Yeah, and I have not missed Kelly Gumont, but that's only because she's been on. Kelly, how are you?
I'm doing well, Jeff. I'm always excited to be on the show, so I was really happy to be on more than once this week. So
that's awesome.
Thanks for having me.
And I have to point out, we are all in San Jose, and yet we are all still having to remote connect because it just logistically, we couldn't all be in the same room to record the show today.
Mm-hmm.
That's just that. Well, there you go.
Hey, it's a bummer.
I want to thank the sponsors that we have that have made it possible for us to be here, which is Jamf, iMazing, Smile, Carbon Copy Cloner, and Eero. Also, today's special sponsor is Smile. So that's awesome. And we will talk about them soon. First,
great companies and great of them to sponsor us.
Oh, no kidding. Mm-hmm. Totally awesome. All right. So yesterday, which would have been Wednesday, on Apple Context Machine, we ran out of time because it was my fault because I had more developers that I wanted to interview. And I have to say, it turns out it was so worth it to cut the show short because I ended up getting some amazing interviews. And I can't wait for people to get to see those. But what we ended up having to do was stop in the middle of a conversation we were having, Brandon and I were having, about ARKit. So we're just going to carry that over here into daily observations, and now we can rope Kelly into the conversation also.
All right.
Oh, excellent. Our plan is all coming together.
I mean, oh, hey, Kelly. Hi.
Hi. I just have to start out by saying I'm a little bit confused because the TMO handbook says that when something like this happens, when something happens and someone needs blamed, I was told it was Brian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's SOP.
Okay.
Yeah. And,
you know me.
And what I did, here's how this works, Kelly. I said that it's my fault, but this is one of the rare exceptions where I will actually edit the show, and every place where say it's my fault, I'm going to change it to say Brian's fault.
Brian's fault. Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent.
As one does. Anyhow, Brian, so...
This all checks out, by the way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. It's awesome. All right. So yesterday on Apple Context Machine, we were talking about the whole AR thing. And so what else did you want to hit about ARKit?
So we were talking about when we had to go, we were talking about glasses and we were talking about, John Gruber pressing, Greg Joswiak and, Mike, whose last name still escapes. Kelly, did you catch Mike's last name?
I did not. I know who you mean, and I can't. I know who you mean, and I can't pull it out of my head right now.
Let's see what the Googles has to say about that. Just because, right? Charge of AR at Apple.
And it'll just say that guy named Mike.
Yes. Mike the page of Google hits. Mike something. Yeah.
Okay. We have a name. Rockwell. We have a name. Mike Rockwell. All right. So Rockwell and Greg Joswiak. He pressed them a little bit on just the tiniest little bit on the idea of how silly it is the idea of walking around with holding our iPhones or our iPads in front of our faces in order to get all this great VR content or AR content. It works really well for games, right? Because games probably have, it's probably going to be in a very specific setting and whatnot. Mm-hmm. We saw with Pokemon Go that works just fine. But in general, and I said this is something specific that I said on ACM, Apple itself knows full well that the last thing they want is like the entire planet walking around the street holding a phone in front of their face and viewing the world through the phone. That's not what Apple wants.
No.
That is absolutely and positively not what Apple wants. But these are baby steps. What do we call it? We call it in the title, Jeff, we call it huge baby steps.
Yes.
Right, Apple. Like right now, we're way at the beginning of AR. We're way at the beginning of this stuff. And one of the necessary giant steps is going to be the introduction of some kind of device that sits on your face, despite what Tim Cook said a few years ago. That sits on your face that you look through, because it turns out most of our looking is done through our eyes.
Interesting.
Huh. Yeah.
Well, I feel like, yes, you are correct, and I 100% agree with you, but also because AR as a concept is a new thing being rolled out to people with which they need to become familiar, it seems like also what's happening is that one of the things that Apple is doing with ARKit by putting it on your phone, and Pokemon Go exploited beautifully, is...
Pokemon Go did it first while Apple was working on it. Pokemon Go did not exploit ARKit.
No, I don't mean ARKit. I mean just AR, augmented reality as a concept. What they're doing is taking the known quantity of your iPhone and using that to introduce... or your Android phone. They're taking your smartphone, and which is a known quantity to you, and using it to introduce this new thing to you. So yes, this is a huge contributor to text neck and stuff like that. But I think it's a good way to introduce it. Yes, it absolutely needs to evolve into something wearable, something that I don't have to hold up in front of me all the time. And anybody who remembers like peak Pokemon Go fever remembers what that was like. And, quite honestly, if it weren't for the fact that people were actually walking around, it was a very people on the spaceship in WALL-E sort of moment, because nobody was talking to each other. They were all just interacting with the screen in front of them.
We're going to see this again when Wizarding World United. Right? Mm-hmm. It's called the Harry Potter.
I think so.
Harry Potter Pokemon Go Sheen comes out later this year. When that comes out, we're going to end up seeing that all over again. By the way, if they fail to make a wand that works in conjunction with your phone, similar to the way the wands work at the Universal Park. The Harry Potter world. If they fail to do that, I am going to be just incredibly disappointed. But that's like a massive tangent.
In other news, when that comes out later this year, I'll miss you guys.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of people are going to miss us all. So here's the other thing about this that occurred to me. So like we said, Jeff, yesterday, we were talking about how Apple has a glass or goggle project in the works.
Right.
And the rumors have been that Apple might kill it, and Apple could have killed it since, but I think that probably would have leaked too. But what we don't know, so we don't actually know that Apple is going to do this. Apple may be leaving the whole goggle or glass kind of thing to third parties, which doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. And then I also start thinking about Facebook's big play with Oculus, and where you have these all-encompassing goggles that you're wearing on your face. And that is fine, I suppose, in a room setting, especially if you're doing VR gaming or if you're doing VR hookups or you know, VR meetups or VR sex or whatever. But again, we don't want to be, I don't think we want to be walking around with actual goggles strapped to our face that blocks out the rest of the world. That doesn't seem like Apple either.
No. And I've played with several different VR headsets. There's a place on Pearl Street Mall in Boulder where you can just go in and try out all these different VR systems. And it's really cool. And it's really interesting, but at the same time, this is not what I want, and it sucks right now. Unless you're just going to sit alone in a room and play a video game,
or with other people, the new shared experience, like you saw the coolness on the stage with the two people
that's
playing
different.
But I'm throwing in there because you're talking about being alone in the room.
I'm talking about being alone in a room with like an Oculus goggle thing stuck to your face.
Well, okay, you wouldn't necessarily be alone in that room because there would be other people who would be sharing the experience with you too. There's also room for shared experiences with that.
Yeah, and what I found is that's really weird and awkward because you can't really see the person, you're bumping into each other, and
they don't have to be there.
Yeah, that's true. But the point is, I see so much room for improvement, and where the technology is today is not something that I see as a mainstream thing.
No, I agree with that, Jeff. And like, you know, Apple's taking these huge baby steps right now, and I think that VR is taking little tiny baby steps.
Yes. Yeah, I'll go with that.
I'm gonna stretch that metaphor as far as I possibly can.
Yeah, but one tiny step at a time.
Exactly, unless of course I'm taking really huge steps.
Right, but they'll still be babies.
Exactly. So this is all interesting. The thing we said on the show yesterday was that. To just realize just how early in this game we are, and to remember that Apple, the last thing that Apple wants, Apple, the company one of the guiding principles behind developing Apple Watch was getting our faces out of our iPhones. Mm-hmm. Right? They haven't talked about that a lot, but it is something that they said early on, and it's something that I think Johnny Ive has said in an interview in the last 6 months. And Apple has also given us new tools to help us be aware of and mindful of our screen time, and maybe even control the screen time and control the screen time of our children. And I believe that Apple's actions and words back up the notion that the last thing they want is everybody on the planet walking around looking at the world through their phone. That's just so perverse.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And I'm thinking with what we're seeing with ARKit 2, even though that puts our phones or iPads up in front of our face, potentially more, I think it's just part of this transition where Apple is getting everything set up so that when they're ready to give us something that's more elegant, everything's already in place. And it's just, and then it just becomes, okay, so now here's this other thing. And now you don't have to hold a phone in front of your face.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think it's just an introduction mechanism at this point.
Huge baby step.
Yes, absolutely. Step. Because when you think about AR and like, I'm not even a person who's like a subject matter expert on anything like this at all. But when I sit and think about the potential of stuff like this and where it could go aside from Pokemon Go or the Harry Potter game or things like that. Like when you think about a lot, like the other ways and the other uses for some of this stuff, then, you know, it makes a lot of sense because it does seem like such a fundamental shift. It makes a lot of sense to introduce it through a known device and then go, yeah, you know, that thing you like you can do it over here with slightly, you know, without the restrictions of the thing we used to introduce you to it.
Fair enough. did we lose Jeff again?
It sounds like somebody knocked on the door. So,
yes,
he's probably telling. Muted.
So we can amuse ourselves at his expense, and that
yes,
is really
please
cool.
Do. I was inviting housekeeping to join us on the show, and they said no.
I see. That's very nice.
Yeah. So, did I miss anything fun?
We'll never tell. Falling.
Okay. Well,
you're right.
Now that I'm back, are we at a good point for me to do the ad spot?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then let's do it. So our sponsor today is Smile, I have to start off by saying happy birthday to Smile because they are celebrating their 15th anniversary on June 12th. So that's coming right up. And what they're doing during that week of the 12th, so it would be starting on June 11th, they're going to have posts on the Smile blog talking about the history of the company, and they're doing this sticker giveaway. So totally have to get into that. So and I say this because I've seen the stickers. They're really cool. So if you want some of the Smile stickers, you have to head over to smilesoftware.com/blog. But I also totally have to talk a little bit about some of the other things I've done, like PDF Pen. So they launched PDF Pen in 2004. And so that was version 1. And here we are today at version 10. And I think I've been using PDF Pen pretty much since 2004. And it is my go-to PDF reader and editing app. And I just seriously, I cannot imagine using Adobe Acrobat to work with, manipulate, edit PDF content, because that's like putting sticks in my eyes. Instead, PDF Pen and PDF Pen Pro. Just so much easier to use, so much more intuitive, not clunky and cumbersome, you have scriptability built in. You have OCR built in. Oh, in PDF Pen Pro 10, they added in batch OCR, which is awesome. So I can take a whole stack of documents and that have been scanned and convert that scanned text into editable text in just one fell swoop in PDF Pen Pro, which is so awesome. There's a watermark feature. You've been able to watermark in PDF Pen for a while, but they've made it so it's actually easy to watermark. So, happy birthday to Smile. And, 15 years. Smile is actually almost old enough to start bugging me for the car keys, which is pretty cool. And thank you for making PDF Pen and PDF Pen Pro, because that has made my life so much better just all the way around. Like, seriously, that has been a life-improving product for me. So go check out PDF Pen, and then also go check out the Smile blog, smilesoftware.com/blog, and check out the history of the company, and they're going to have a lot of really cool stories about things that have happened, and the sticker giveaway, and the stickers are cool. So go check that out. And thank you to Smile and PDF Pen for being our sponsor today. And we are close to out of time, but before we wrap up, I wanted to have a real quick discussion about the future of 32-bit apps, because I think people are kind of confused about this.
So what future of 32-bit apps?
There's not. Now we've discussed it.
Okay, so I should just do the outro bumper and call it good. Okay, so here's the part that people are confused about. They think that once Mojave comes out, macOS 10 Mojave, that 32-bit apps are dead. Well, They're dead, but they're kind of undead because they still work. Mojave is the last version of Mac OS 10 that, or Mac OS, wow, that will support 32-bit apps. So whatever comes after Mojave, that is going to be the version of macOS that does not include support for 32-bit apps. So any apps you rely on that aren't going to get updated to 64-bit, you either have to keep what I'll now call a legacy machine to run those apps, or find
including alternatives. Including a legacy virtual machine.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. You can do it with Parallels or VMware.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But either way, you need to make some sort of consideration for it and consider it. And like, to me, the thing about this is that you really need to. This is a thing that people should do a little bit more of anyway. And I think sometimes it's a little bit on Apple that this doesn't happen, because Apple, particularly with the High Sierra update, the App Store, in trying to encourage you to update to the latest version of the operating system, will go full toddler mode. Hey, 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 until you update, just to make it be quiet. And I know there are reasons to upgrade, but sometimes there are reasons not to as well. And sometimes people just do it to make the notifications go away, or, you know, stop being pestered by it. But at the same time, if this is the machine that is your daily driver, if this is a machine that you have very specific workflows set up on, if this is the machine you use to make money every day, you need to do an ounce of diligence with that and due diligence and make sure that the things that you need continue to be compatible. And I think probably the only people who are going to do that, off the top of my head, the people who are going to do that are people who do it as a matter of course. So if you are a person who makes sure you have a backup before you do a system upgrade and things like that, then yes. And the only other people who are probably going to consider this are the people who got bitten by the 32-bit apocalypse on iOS that we had this year. Because when you update to iOS 11, 32 bits will no longer function, period. It's a hard stop. Like, this is, you know, there's a much longer sunsetting period we're getting on the Mac side, but it's another one of those things that if you stop and check for a minute before you move to the next thing, then you'll be much better off overall. And it may just be time to start evaluating some of those tools and see if there's not everything's going to make it to 64-bit. It's just not. I think all of us have a tool that we adore at the moment that makes our lives better in some tangible way. And yet it's 32-bit, and there's probably not enough market or will or love for the app itself to make for somebody to develop the 64-bit version of it for whatever reason.
Yeah. So now, and we do have to wrap up, but in some cases, it's a matter of the app may be abandoned. The developers just aren't interested in investing resources to click a button that says make it 64-bit. In other cases, it may involve like a complete rewrite of the application, because some of these apps that people depend on, they may have started back in the days of like Mac OS 8 and 9. And so they've been worked and reworked so that they become Mac OS 10 and now Mac OS native, but they may still be written in such a way that to truly make them 64-bit or even Retina, they just have to start over. And the resources just may not be there. So,
right. And not every developer necessarily has the resources or can find a way for it to make financial sense for that application to be updated. And it's a thing that you will have to consider, particularly if your tools are like, it doesn't have to be that old of an application even for it to be a 32-bit app. And maybe you don't realize it. So that's the thing that I would put out there, is that I'm sort of glad they're starting with this now, because yes, it's still going to probably get somebody, a lot of somebody's, but starting now will give most people a very, very wide window in order to find an alternative tool or, you know, build an alternative tool. Like, I'm here at WWDC this week with a WWDC badge and talking to people. Like, it seems like there's a lot of people that are
I have a feeling that that my hotel internet is starting to fail because Kelly, you cut out.
Somebody's trying to call me and I don't know who needs to talk to me right now.
Well, that's okay. We'll just use that as nature's way of telling us we need to wrap up and
yes,
and call it good for the day.
I'm glad about awareness. That's what I'm trying to say, is that I'm glad that they're starting now with an entire release cycle of an operating system that hasn't even started and won't for another few months, and giving people the opportunity to make those kinds of decisions ahead of time.
Yep, there you go. All right. Well, we are out of time, so we have to wrap up. Kelly, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, Jeff.
And Brian, thank you for being here as well.
Likewise, good to be here. Thanks for having us, and enjoy the discussion.
Yeah, it's always fun to have both of you on the show. And thank you to Smile for being our sponsor today. Happy birthday, Smile. 15 years. Go check out PDF Pen 10, because if you're not using that as your PDF reading and editing app, then it's time to change that. And head over to the Smile website and check out everything there at smilesoftware.com/podcast. And thank you to all of our sponsors for making it possible for us to be here this week at Worldwide Developer Conference. That's Jamf, Amazing, Smile, Carbon Copy Cloner, and Eero. Listeners, thank you for joining us. We'll see you again tomorrow.